Well, have you ever noticed that nobody wakes up one day and goes, you know, wow, you know, my life is going so great that I'm kind of bored with it. You know, I'm just kind of sick and tired of God blessing me so much. I'm tired of my marriage going so great, my family going so great. I'm tired of God using me to make such a difference in so many people's lives. I'm just tired of that. I think what I'd like to do is I would like to just jack my life up. You know, I would like to just totally wreck my life. You know, I think what I'd like to do is I would like to start drinking alcohol a little bit more. And maybe if I'm lucky, I could get to the point where I become, you know, like addicted to this substance in this bottle or this can. And maybe it could just like wreck my marriage and, you know, just totally wreck my job. Nobody does that. Nobody does that. Nobody wakes up one day and says, you know, I think I want to start smoking cigarettes, you know, a little ciggy here, a little ciggy there. You know, I just think maybe I could do that. And then if I'm lucky, eventually I could work my way up to smoking like, you know, I don't know, like two or three packs a day. Maybe by the time I'm 58, 59, I could, you know, come down with like lung cancer. I mean, I'm getting excited just thinking about it. No, nobody does that. Nobody goes, you know what I think I want to do is I want to place a bet right here, and just for fun, just for recreational purposes. But then what I would like to do someday is I would like to get to the point where I'm addicted to gambling. And maybe I could lose everything that has ever mattered to me. And maybe eventually I could be so upside down financially, I don't even know what to do. That sounds like a really good plan. Don't you think? Nobody does that. Nobody does that. Nobody sets out to wreck their life. And yet it happens. It happens to people all the time. You know, the truth of the matter is we all struggle with things. Now, a lot of us, we don't like to call it an addiction. And it may not actually be at that level. It may be an unhealthy pattern of some kind, an unhealthy habit in our life. But if we don't pay attention to it, if we just ignore it, it could end up derailing and totally wrecking our lives, our marriage, our family, our career, all kinds of stuff. You know, maybe you were injured at one point or you had a surgery and they gave you some pain medication and you started taking that and you stuck with it and now you can't function without it. Maybe you started smoking pot. You'd say, you know, it's just to fit in with my buddies, with my friends. You know, I was just trying to be a part of the group. But then that turned to coke, and now you're on meth, and you just can't make it through a day without it. Maybe it's dip for you, and your wife hates it, and, you know, you feel bad, but you hate going behind her back, but you just can't seem to quit. Or maybe it's porn or some other kind of sexual addiction in your life. And the truth is you're consumed by it. And you hate that. But it's got control of your life. And for some of us, what we deal with is more socially acceptable issues. For years in my life, I lived on the edge of workaholism. And as I looked back on my life, I realized that there are times I went over the edge. But that's one of those issues that's really hard to minimize, to kind of just go, it's not that big. In fact, a lot of people just affirm that. Wow, you just work hard. You know, that's kind of like the guy who's interviewed and asks, you know, he goes in asking me, oh, what do you think your weaknesses are? He kind of thinks a little bit and goes, well, you know, I think probably my greatest weakness is I just care so much about my job. Come on, really? I mean, that's your weakness? Well, for some of us, that's kind of how workaholism is. But the reality is, it's just as dangerous as any other addiction, whether it's cocaine or pornography or being a kleptomaniac, you know, whatever. In fact, in some ways, it may even be more dangerous because people just kind of wink at it. They act like it's no big deal. And we can begin to act like it's no big deal, but the reality is it wrecks marriages and it wrecks families. It's had an effect on my marriage. It's had an effect on my family. And I've had to set up some strong guardrails, protective guardrails, try to stay healthy in this area of my life. But we all struggle with different things. I want you to look at what Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. We're going to throw this up here on the screen. There's another Scripture I want you to look up here in a little bit. This one we're just going to look at on screen. 1 Corinthians 6, 12 says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. And then he repeats it. For extremists, says, I have the right to do anything, or anything is permissible for me, but I will not be, what's the word? Let's say this loud. But I will not be mastered. But I will not be mastered by anything. Now, the Greek word that's translated mastered right there is the word exousiazo in the Greek, which means to be controlled by or to be enslaved, okay? It's to be ruled by something. It means for something to have power over us, for us to live our lives under the power of something. You see, the reality is when someone is addicted, what that means is they're mastered, they're controlled, they're under the power of something else. I mean, they can know, you know, oh, you know, I shouldn't be doing this. I know I shouldn't be doing it. But because they're under the power of something, this something else continues to control and to dominate their life. For example, someone may have a problem with overeating. And intellectually, they can say, oh, you know, I shouldn't eat this. I shouldn't eat that. You know, this really isn't good for my body. And the whole time, they're munching away on stuff. They're eating stuff. Why? Because they're under the control of something else. They're under the power of something else. Someone who overspends can be shopping. They're handing the cashier their credit card. And in the very moment that they're handing the credit card to the cashier because of something that they're buying, in their mind they're going, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be doing it. I can't even pay the minimum balance due on my bill right now. I shouldn't be doing this. But the whole time they're still in the midst of doing it. Why? They're under the power of something else. Someone can be a workaholic, and intellectually, they'll be telling themselves, I need to be home. My family needs me. I shouldn't have said yes to this. I shouldn't have taken this on. I didn't need to be here. I didn't need to stay late today. And the whole time, what are they doing? They're just adding and piling on more and more and more stuff to a life that is already overloaded. Why? Why? We're mastered. And we're controlled. We are the slaves of something else. So here's the question that I want us to ask ourselves today. What has you mastered? What has you mastered in your life? What is that thing? That issue that's mastering you. And I hope, I would encourage you in that blank on your outline, I would actually encourage you, write something down. What is it for you? Be honest. Be real with yourself. You know what it probably is? It's probably something that you think you can quit at any time. But you haven't. What has control? What has a dominating influence on you? What's mastered you? It could be one of the things that we've already mentioned. It could be something that a lot of people would say, it's really not that big of a deal. But the reality is you're under its control. It's mastering your life. A lot of people are mastered by caffeine. And people go, that's harmless. It's no big deal. But they can't start the day without it. I need this. I need it. I'm under the power of it. Maybe for you it's smoking. You know, some people wonder, you know, if I smoke, will that send me to hell? No, absolutely not. It will not send you to hell. May make you smell like you've been there, okay? But it will not send you there. Okay? But for some, I mean, that's a struggle for you. It could be something like checking your texts or Facebook or your Twitter account, email. You're just constantly checking it. In fact, if you don't check it, you go 15 minutes without. I mean, you start getting a little nervous, a little jittery or whatever. Maybe that's it for you. Maybe that's what's mastering you. It could be something that really looks good, actually. For example, so some people are mastered by their appearance. They're all caught up. They're obsessed with their appearance. They're continually like working out. And I mean, hours every single day. And you see them. I mean, they just look, their bodies look incredible. And they're going, oh, man, I think I'm getting fat. And you're like, what? You're not getting fat. I mean, you look like you have like 2% body fat or whatever. But to them, they feel like they're fat. Or maybe in the appearance, it was, oh, I look pale. I've got a tan. You look like burnt toast, but, whatever. But that's the struggle for some. It's their appearance, or they're constantly buying more clothes or accessories or shoes because they never feel good enough about themselves. Or maybe it's computer games that make you feel alive. And so you end up playing like 8 hours a day, maybe more than that. But we all have different things that we struggle with, things that are controlling us to varying degrees. What is it that's mastering you? And what I want to do today is I want to make a slightly, maybe controversial statement, but I believe in most cases it's true. What we're talking about, when we talk about an outward, visible addiction, an unhealthy pattern, an unhealthy habit in our life, whatever it is, that's really not, most cases, the root problem. That's the symptom. The root problem in most cases is idolatry. A false god. A counterfeit god in our life. We're allowing something other than God to control us. We have a false god that we feel like we need. We feel like we need this false god, this thing, this substance, this whatever, in order to function, in order to feel like we're alive. So we hold on to it. And we keep going back to it. So what I want to do is I want to look at a passage of scripture. If you have your Bible, you can go ahead and look it up. Isaiah 44. In the context, it's in the Old Testament, so you're going to be looking that up. The context of this passage of scripture is that there's a carpenter that cuts down some trees, and he takes the trees that he cuts down, and he uses some of it for wood to start a fire, and he starts this fire, and with a fire, he cooks some food for himself. He warms up some food, and he warms himself up. So he takes this neutral object, wood, from a tree, just a neutral object, and he uses for good things. But then he takes, again, this wood, this neutral object, and he fashions and makes an idol out of it. He carves out an idol, and he bows down and he worships it, which is what actually a lot of us do. I mean, food isn't bad for us, but for some of us, we make it our god, and it begins to control us and have power over us. So something neutral takes over our lives. Entertainment isn't bad, but for some of us, it becomes a god, and it begins to control our lives. So I want you to look at this. Isaiah 44, beginning in verse 14, says he, talking about this carpenter, he cut down cedars, or perhaps took a cypress or oak. He let it grow among the trees of the forest, or planted a pine in the rain, made it grow. Verse 15, it is used as fuel for burning. Some of it he takes and warms himself. He kindles a fire and bakes bread. But he also, look at this, he also fashions a god and worships it. He makes an idol and bows down to it. And then he goes on a few verses later, makes a little statement in verse 17, or the next verse goes on, and or two verses later, says, you are my god. To this idol, this wood thing that he made, save me. He says, now we can look at that and say, I mean, is this guy dumb? I mean, is he an idiot? Is he stupid or what? I mean, he's got a tree, and he's going to a tree, to this wood. He's saying, save me? You're my God? And yet so many of us, in essence, do the same thing. There's this substance in a bottle. Save me. I can't go through life without it. These little pills, save me. You're my God. Food, save me, save me. And we take something that could be neutral or something that could even be good, but we make it an idol. And in essence, we bow down to it and we say, I can't live without you. I need you. I've got to have you. I've got to have you. It goes on in verse 18. On down, it says, they know nothing, they understand nothing. Their eyes are plastered over so they cannot see, and their minds are closed so they cannot understand. They don't even realize, really, that they're worshiping an idol, that they're worshiping this thing that isn't going to get them where they want to go, that can't really meet their needs, not their deepest needs, but they keep worshiping it. Goes on in verse 19, no one stops to think. No one has the knowledge or understanding. You say, half of it I use for fuel. I even baked bread over its coals. I roasted meat and I ate. Shall I make a detestable thing from what is left? Shall I bow down to a block of wood? Verse 20, such a person feeds on ashes. A deluded heart misleads him. He cannot save himself or say, is not this thing in my right hand a lie? Is not this thing, this issue, this substance, whatever, is not this thing a lie? Is not this activity, is not this addiction, is not this unhealthy pattern in my life a lie? Isn't this thing promising something that it can't really deliver? Isn't it promising something that isn't real, that isn't valid? And this thing, this issue, has become an idol. It's idolatry. And most of our addictions, and most of our unhealthy patterns, here's what's going on. Here's what we're doing. We're seeking to find what only God can provide in something other than God. We're seeking to find what only God can provide. But we're seeking to do it in something other than God. And here's how this kind of plays out. Maybe you're really stressed. I mean, you're just really, really stressed out. You know, you got all these things to do. You've got your job. You got all these deadlines. You got all your family responsibilities. All the stuff that's going on. Then on top of that, you got, you know, financial pressures. This cloud that's hanging over you. And you start thinking internally, man, what I need, I need some peace. I need something to relax me. So what do? Oh, well, this will help relax me. This will give me some peace. This will bring peace in my life. What are we doing? We're seeking what God wants to provide. God, the author of peace, the Prince of Peace, who wants to give us a peace that surpasses all understanding. And yet we're turning to something else, to this thing. Seeking to find what God provides in something other than God Himself. I should say we don't really feel good about ourselves, so we go shopping to find some new clothes to boost our sense of worth. We go out shopping, seeking to provide what God wants to provide. God, the one who loves us, the one who says we are of immense value to Him. The one who cares about us and loves us so much that He sent His Son Jesus into the world to die so we could live in relationship with Him. But what do? We go seeking for what God provides, but we go seeking for it in something other than God Himself. Or maybe we post something on social media hoping to get some kind of positive responses to help us feel like we have meaning. What are we doing? We're trying to find meaning from social media when the author of creation himself wants to give us meaning, wants to bring fulfillment into our life. We're seeking to find what only God can provide in something other than God himself. It's idolatry. Nobody wakes up one day and says, I want to become addicted to this. I want this deal here. I want this to master this unhealthy habit, this unhealthy pattern. I want this to master me. I want this to control my life. No, nobody does it. No, none of us wake up one day and go, wow, I am just so blessed by God. I mean, my marriage is going so great. My family, my relationships are on such a positive path and heading in such a good direction in my life. Man, God has given me the opportunity to make such a difference in people's lives. I'm just tired. I'm bored with all that stuff. I just want to wreck my life. I don't want any of that. None of us do that. None of us. But unintentionally, a lot of us end up on paths that are so unhealthy. They're leading to problems. A lot of times we live in denial. We don't admit it. But if you were to decide someday, I just want to wreck my life. I just want to become addicted. What I want to do is I want to give you four easy steps. So let me give you these four things. You want to be mastered, you want to be controlled, if you ever did want to. I know we don't intentionally go this direction, but if you ever did decide, I don't want all that God has for me. I just want to wreck my life. Four easy steps, okay? Number one, here we go. Step number one, don't admit that you have a problem. I mean, that's where it all starts. Don't ever admit that you could possibly, in any way, shape, or form, have a problem. Just totally and completely deny that you could ever struggle with anything, okay? That you could ever have a problem. Just deny that completely, okay? Don't ever admit that you have a problem. Look at what Scripture says. Jeremiah 3, verse 13, the first part of that verse says, only acknowledge your guilt. Look at that. Only acknowledge your guilt. You have rebelled against the Lord your God. But if you want to wreck your life, don't you dare do that. Okay? Now, as you read this whole section of Scripture in Jeremiah here, 3, God is challenging the people to admit that in essence they've kind of committed adultery against him by worshiping idols, by trying to meet some need with something other than God himself. If you want to wreck your life, don't do that. Don't admit that you're trying to find what only God can provide in something other than God. Don't ever admit that you could have a problem, that you're trying to meet a need with something other than God. What you need to do is you need to tell yourself that you can quit at any time, even though you never have. You keep trying to convince yourself that you could. Just believe in your head, I can quit at any time. You just keep telling yourself, this is no big deal. I can quit. I could quit. If I wanted to, I would quit. I can quit at any time. Just rationalize it away and make excuses. Be creative. Just come up with whatever rationalization works for you. Just go for it. It's really not my fault. If you knew the environment that I grew up in, you knew my background, you'd understand. You'd have probably done the same thing. Well, this isn't even really that bad. I mean, look at what they're doing. We get into the comparison. Look at what they do. Besides, I deserve this. Or if I weren't doing this, I'd be doing something worse. I'd be doing something worse. So this is a good thing. I mean, we twist it. I mean, that's how we rationalize it. We twist around and then again, I can quit anytime I want. I could quit. Whatever you do, you want to wreck your life, just keep rationalizing. Just keep making excuses. Even when it's affecting your relationships, even when it's affecting your performance, you just keep making excuses. Whatever works, don't ever admit that you have a problem. Don't do that. And when everybody who loves you and cares about you starts trying to tell you that you have a problem, just shut them down. Just shut them out completely. Don't ever believe that those who care about you the most, that they could see something in your life better than you can. Don't ever believe that. Just tell yourself that you know what's best. If 20 people who love you tell you that you have a problem, you just tell yourself they are all wrong, I'm right, they don't know what they're talking about, but never, ever, ever admit that you could possibly have a problem. Step number two, if you want to wreck your life, step number two, this is so important, gratify whatever desires you have. Gratify whatever fleshly desires, self-centered desires that you have. When your body wants something, just give into it. Just give into it. Delayed gratification, discipline, way overrated. way overrated. Just forget about that kind of stuff. Just gratify whatever desire you have. And look at this scripture, Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit or live by the Spirit. And if you want to wreck your life, don't do that. Don't walk by the Spirit. That's just dumb. But it says, so I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh or the sinful nature, the self-centered desires. Verse 17, for the flesh, the sinful nature, desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh, to the self-centered nature and desires that we have. They're in conflict with each other, so you're not to do whatever you want. In other words, for those of us who are followers of Christ, at the point at which you receive Jesus in your life, when you establish a relationship with God, God places, you may not have realized this, nevertheless it happened, God placed His Spirit, okay? The Holy Spirit of God, He placed His Spirit in you, which means that our spirit can communicate with God, and God can communicate with us through His Spirit so that we are able to live Spirit-led, Spirit-driven lives. We're able to live lives that are driven by God. But what it's getting at in this passage of Scripture is there is going to be a war. God is going to lead you one way, and your body, this inner, these inner self-centered desires, a sinful nature, is going to, no, you don't want to do that. You want to go this other way. And there's going to be like this internal tug of war in your life. So if you want to wreck your life, you got to train your body so that it always gets what it wants. Just like a spoiled child. That's how you need to treat yourself. If your body wants to look at something, then you look at it. If your body wants to smoke something, you smoke it. You know, if your body wants to buy something, you know, you buy it. If your body wants to eat something, you eat it. Just whatever your body wants, your body gets. You just need to live that way. Train yourself to always gratify whatever desires you have. Gratify the desires that you have in your life. And step number three is keep your addiction a secret. You don't wreck your life. Just keep this unhealthy pattern, whatever it is in your life. It may not be quite at the addiction level, whatever it is. Maybe it is, but whatever it is, you just keep it a secret. Don't let other people know about it. Don't let people know what you struggle with or what you think maybe could be an issue. You know, don't let people know about that. But look at what Scripture says. Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Now, if you want to wreck your life, that's just dumb. Sin, addiction, unhealthy patterns, they grow best in the dark. So keep all that stuff, these issues that you struggle with, just keep them in the dark. Don't you dare let other Christians know about it. I mean, Christians will just do, you know, dumb stuff like encourage you in the Lord. They'll pray for you. And they'll just do obnoxious stuff, annoying stuff. You can't let people hold you accountable and love you and support you. I mean, you've already got your support, right? In this thing, you know, whatever it is, whatever your issue, I mean, that's your support, right? That's all you need. That's your strength. You don't need other people to support you. You don't need them to encourage you in any of that. Just keep it a secret. Whatever it is, just make sure that you keep it a secret. Just inside of you. And then step number four, this is important. Depend on your own power, never God's. Depend, you want to wreck your life, depend on your own power, never God's. Believe, convince yourself that you can overcome anything and everything on your own. And just convince yourself that you're immune, okay? That you're above being mastered by anything. Just tell yourself over and over, I can handle this.
I can handle this. I can handle it. I can handle it on my own. It's no big deal. I can handle it. I don't need God. I don't need any kind of support system. I don't need any of that kind of stuff. Just depend on yourself, never on God. Let's just pause. No more sarcasm. Okay, it's hard to do the sarcasm thing. You know, it's exhausting trying to say, for me to say the exact opposite of what I really feel, what I really believe. It just takes all kinds of concentration. And yet, you know, one of the things I think is effective about it is that, unfortunately for a lot of us, these are the thoughts, these are some of the things, maybe not worded exactly like that, but we come up with these excuses, we come up with these rationalizations. No more sarcasm. Look at what Scripture says, 1 Corinthians 10:12. It says, so if you think you're standing firm, you think you're doing fine, everything's going for you, be careful. It's a warning, be careful. Be careful that you don't fall. If we think we can handle everything on our own, what's eventually probably going to happen is we're going to fall flat on our faces. We think we can handle it all. Eventually, what's typically going to happen is we're going to end up wrecking our lives, and we may end up damaging and creating all kinds of heartache and confusion, not just in our life, but in the lives of a lot of others around us. What we need to deal with these unhealthy patterns in our life is we need God, and we need His power in our lives. Look at this next scripture here, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 3. It says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. And it's talking about internal war, spiritual war that we have. Verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, you see, our weapons, what are they? What are our weapons? Our weapons are love. Our weapons are knowing that we are loved and forgiven. Our weapons... faith, the shield of faith. It's prayer. It's fasting. It's the power and strength that God gives us through His Spirit. Our weapons are the peace and the internal joy that God gives us in our lives. So on the contrary, they have divine power. Now, the Greek word for that word power is the word dunamis, which is the word from which we get our word dynamite. So our internal weapons, it's saying, have explosive power. Our weapons have the divine power, it goes on and says, to demolish strongholds. So the weapons of God have this explosive supernatural power to demolish or to tear down false beliefs that hold us hostage. When it's talking about strongholds in our life, it's talking about false belief systems that we're holding on to that are keeping us in bondage. You see, we are slaves or we're hostages to anything that masters us. You see, most of us, in our minds, we believe that these things, these unhealthy patterns, addictions, these issues that we struggle with, we believe that they're going to help us. We believe they're the answer. In our minds, a lot of times, we believe the lie that these things are what we really want. We believe that these things are what we really need. But God's weapons have the power to explode these lies. So what do we do? We'll look at the next verse, verse 5. It goes on and says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought, okay? Very key statement. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Whenever that little internal voice says, don't admit that you have a problem, don't do that. We refuse to buy in to that lie, and instead we admit that we're weak and we're vulnerable. We remind ourselves that God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. We grab hold of the lie and we replace it with the truth. We go replacing the lies that we've bought into, that these things, these issues, these unhealthy patterns, that they're going to provide us what we replace those lies
with the truth. Whenever our body says, gratify me, gratify me, gratify me, gratify me. He said, no, no, I have crucified my selfish, sinful, internal desires. I've been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. By faith, I put to death all the desires of my earthly nature, my self-centered, self-absorbed desires. Whenever the excuse monster rears its ugly head, you know, oh, that's just who you are. You know, you can't change. You can't overcome that in your life. We confront the lie. We replace that lie that we can't change. It's just who we are. We replace that with the truth. Scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We replace the lies with truth. When everything in us is telling us to keep it a secret, oh, you know, don't tell anybody about it. Just keep it to yourself. We go, no, no. Scripture says, scripture we just looked at, Proverbs 28, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. And James says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. What we need to do is we need to take the lies and we need to replace those lies. We need to cover them up, replace them with the truth of Christ. To whatever it is that you're struggling with, whatever it is that may have a stranglehold on your life, you can overcome it. You really can through Christ. But you've got to admit that it's an issue. You got to turn to God for his help and his strength. But sadly, what too many people do is they just take these four easy steps. And they just keep taking these four easy steps that we talked about. The bottom line, you write this down there on your outline, the bottom line is that we are seeking to find what only God can provide in something other than God himself. We are seeking to find, too many as we live our lives seeking to find what only God can provide in something other than God himself. And write that down there on your outline. I encourage you, take this week, think through this statement, reflect on this statement, unpack how is this being played out in your life? You know, in almost every case where we're giving into an addiction, we're giving into an unhealthy pattern, we're being controlled and mastered by something in our lives, this is what we're doing. This is what's going on. Admit it. Repent. Confess it to God. Talk to someone. Talk to a godly friend. Get with a Christian counselor. Open up in your small group Bible study. Check out one of our support or recovery groups. You need a team who is going to be there to believe in you, to encourage you, to walk with you in this process. You got to come. That's where healing begins, is coming clean and acknowledging, man, there are areas of my life, God, I can't handle my own. God, I need you. And I've been relying on them to give me something that only you can give me. They can't really give it to me, but I keep going back to these things. But God can give you the inner strength and the inner power to begin to make the changes that you need to make in your life. God can help you unwreck your life. We're going to pray in just a moment. What I want you to know, what I want you to get, is it doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, it doesn't matter what you're struggling with, what kind of stranglehold it has on your life, God wants to set you free from that. And even though maybe in your life you've been trying to find something that only God can provide in these other things, God wants to set you free so that you can experience the life of wholeness and meaning and fulfillment and joy and peace. And so you don't have to live with the shame and the guilt or trying to hide this secret because you don't want anybody to know. And what if they found out? You don't have to live that way. You can live whole. God really can make you whole. God really can.
help you find the meaning and the fullness that you've been looking for. Would you bow your heads with me? God, you want to bring healing in our lives. God, whatever it is that has got a stranglehold on our life, you want to free us from that. Whether it's a socially acceptable issue or some secret thing that we don't want anyone to know about. God, some of us have been living for so long just trying to deny that anything's there, that there's any issue, that we struggle with anything. The healing starts with coming clean and admitting, I've got this issue. I can't deal with it on my own. I haven't been able to. You come to God right where you are and just say, God, I need your help. I want to come clean today. I don't want to play games and rationalize, try to hide it, deny it anymore. God, I'm admitting I've got an area of my life that I can't handle on my own. God, I need your strength. I need your power to begin to make the changes that I need to make. God can give you that strength. Did you ask him for it? Say, God, give me the courage to take the next step. Find a team to support me and encourage me in this process, on this journey towards wholeness. God, I need you. I need your strength. I need your power. And I need others for support and encouragement in my life. If you're here and you never open your heart, your life up to Jesus, you need him in your life in order to have the inner strength that you need to experience and know that you're loved. You really are. And you may have shame, you have guilt, but you are still loved. And God offers you his gift of forgiveness. So where you are, would you come to God and just say, God, I need you. I'm tired of trying to figure it all out on my own. God, I want to experience your love. I want to accept your gift of forgiveness. Thank you for allowing Jesus to die for my sins. God, give me the strength that I need. God, help me to find wholeness and joy and peace in my life. For my prayer is that this would be the beginning of healing in individuals' lives. That would begin right now, right here in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.